What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's canine educator. Okay, I was a little skeptical about making this podcast, and I still am, and if I release it, great, and if I don't, at least I tried. This is a podcast probably mainly for dog trainers to give them a peace of mind and or some advice, but it's also for just dog lovers and dog owners in general. I want to say, first off, thank you for everybody who continues to support me and send me messages on a daily basis from all over the world telling me how much I've helped them, because it really does, it really does mean a lot to me. I'm in a world where I'm in the process of trying to figure out whether or not the situations that I'm in are worth helping the amount of dogs and the amount of people that I do. And by no way, shape, or form do I mean to be cocky in that situation or in that sentence, because that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that the amount of stress and the amount of anxiety that I get working with people who don't understand the big picture, or working with people who don't understand what's right for the dog and what's wrong for the dog, has played a really big toll on me lately. Most of you probably don't know that, because you just see what's great on social media. And to be honest, my life is freaking awesome. I'm very grateful for what I do. I travel the country and work with dogs and have a self-running, sustainable business. But at the end of the day, what I care about is dogs, and I'm finding the more and more people that I work with, and this is big for you dog trainers, the more and more people that I work with, the harder it is to move forward. So if you work with 10 people a year, 20 people a year, the likelihood of you running into people who are going to have issues or who are going to have problems or whatever is going to be considerably small compared to if you work with 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 or 10,000. And so I'm seeing, as business grows for us and as more and more people come to me for advice, the more stress and the more situations, unfortunately, I'm dealt with. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today, and I want to be as real as possible, because I think that it's important for people to understand that you're not alone, and shit happens, mistakes happen, accidents happen, and we, as professional dog trainers and dog owners, I want you to just maybe take some advice from this podcast of how I feel about, you know, moving forward with making the right decisions for your dog. This isn't entirely for dog trainers. However, there could be two sides to this for benefit wise. But I think that it's important to understand that we are in an uphill battle, more than 90% of my clients come to me for advice and for, hey, in your experience, you know, I've been professionally handling dogs 7 days a week for about 14 hours a day with the exception of maybe taking one or two vacations a year, for 10 years. That's police dogs. I'm an experienced animal control officer, so I used to be an animal control officer, and I used to go to court and fight for dogs and know the legalities of things. I was a dog walker for a long time. I've done daycare rehabs. I've helped businesses, other small businesses involving dogs, become better. And I've just been in so many different thresholds, and I've been in the trenches for 10 years working with dogs. And this is boots on the ground, handling dogs, practitioner shit. This isn't theory and reading books and talking about what's right and what's wrong. And in my opinion, I do have a lot of opinions, but I also have been in the trenches for 10 effing years. So I'm at a point in my career where I'm close to just stop working with dogs in person. And that's hard for me to say because I am obsessed with helping dogs. That's why I got into what I do. I never wanted to become a dog trainer. I never wanted to have a business and have it be as big as it is currently. Not that I don't love it now, but it wasn't something that was there. I wanted to work with dogs because I wanted to help them, which then formed into basically a trainer, which I call myself an educator, but that's besides the point. And yeah, honestly, I'm to a point now, and I'm sure that you dog trainers can gravitate to this and circle to this, that and I'm going to be honest, I probably work with three people. So as a business, we probably run into three people out of 365 days of working with dogs that go south. And that's the absolute brutal truth. That's not exaggeration. That's not me being modest. That's like real. About every year, as the last 2 years, as we've grown, it started off with me and then somebody else, and then we had three people. So I had a manager who did all the scheduling and emails, and then I had basically somebody to help me clean up and start daycare as we progressed in the business. I've been at my location 3 years this summer of 2019. And now we have, I think, 8 full-time people on staff and payroll and some volunteers. And I do some stuff with schools, so I'm the Animal Behavioral College externship coordinator as well, or not coordinator, but trainer. So I work with the colleges, and I also work with the local SUNY Cobleskill School, helping them with their externship and their bachelor degree, helping them put the icing on the cake and giving them some real-life situations. So we do a lot in conjunction with all of the training that I do, and I'm finding a lot of stress. And I think if you watch the documentaries of people doing what they love and then them just not doing it anymore, a good example of that on a very small, and I'm not trying to say, guys, I kind of want you guys to be a little bit acceptable to my vulnerability here explaining these things, because I think it's important. And I don't want you guys to feel alone and you're dealing with stuff alone, because this shit sucks and it's really hard to deal with. But take this with a grain of salt when I say this, but I just recently watched the Avicii documentary, and this is a guy that, and again, I'm not Avicii. I'm nowhere near as big as him. I'm not saying that at all. This could literally be somebody who works at PetSmart. I'm just talking about the dynamic between working with people and trying to benefit the dog, and the people not understanding how to do that process and how frustrating it can be and how daunting it could be as a profession. But anyway, Avicii documentary literally started making beats, and then like one song got really big for him. And then he basically took every opportunity he could for like 3 years and toured for like 3 years straight. And in his documentary, he said that he was going to die unless he took a break, because his health, both mentally and physically, are taking a toll due to his management pushing him and due to, like, you know, his eager to provide to his fans and things like that. And so the moral of the story is like, he knew that what he loved is becoming deteriorated into nothing. And that's what he didn't want to do. And then he decided to take like 6 months off or a year off. I can't remember. And then eventually when he came back for his comeback, he passed away from what I believe was either a suicide or an accidental overdose. But anyway, he was self-medicating pretty hard. And he even saw these things coming. And so in this podcast, again, I want to be as real as possible with you guys. Totally different levels, totally different things happening, but it just goes to show that when you climb and do something that you love for other people, if you're not happy, you need to know when to exit, because then what you love is going to become something you hate. And so I'm going to be honest, I'm to a point where it's hard some days to see the light at the end of the tunnel only because of the people that I work with on some occasions. And so part of me says, well, Tom, you know, you have all these people that you're helping on a daily basis. Your staff are freaking awesome, and they are helping people. Your trainers, your daycare people are changing people's lives on a regular basis, on a very micro level and sometimes on a very macro level. Changing people's lives is something that we do with dogs. My staff does a great job at what they do, but it's becoming to a point where we find, or I personally find, that people are making decisions based off emotion. And this isn't necessarily with dog training. This is when it comes down to good decision making, good business, whether it's right or it's wrong. It's sometimes it's really hard for me to swallow these pills and not lash out. Meaning, if I get an email from somebody saying, "Hey, we don't like what happened at this session," whether there was a dog fight. Which rarely happens, you know, maybe once or twice a year. Again, I'm talking about these clients that I get maybe three times a year, rather we go to court and argue the fact that, so we have, okay, let me rewind a little bit. we have a document that people sign that's basically put together to help dogs. At the end of the day, it's there to save the dog, 100%. It's not about money. And you can ask any of my regular clients or even my staff. They get pretty annoyed because I blatantly forget to charge people most days. That's why I don't do anything but train when I'm there. I don't do scheduling. I don't do any of that stuff. And so money really doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about. I got into this situation, into this environment because of what I love, and I'm passionate about it. I just got off the phone with a client from Canada, and you know, him and I were kind of talking about you know, just what we're talking about now. And anyway, I have a form and a contract that everybody signs before they work with me that says, you are coming to us, you know, don't quote me on this, but this is basically how it goes. You are coming to us for advice, for direction, for professional help. We are going to provide these services to you as you know, as we agreed to. However, if you decide not to come back, and you decide to take offense, and you decide to be uncomfortable and not continue to train with us, that is on you. And again, because when these situations happen, a lot of times I brush them off, and there's a big part of me that is extremely confident and extremely, like, my decision making for situations becomes very about you know, making the right decision, and sometimes it gets me in trouble. Meaning, you know, within our contract, if it says that anything after our training services that happen is not our responsibility, because you know, we're trying to do the best we can to help you as a dog owner, and if you and by that I mean if you decide not to come back because you know, you got busy at work, or you decided to give the dog up, or whatever it is, that's not our responsibility. And that's put in there to protect the dog, because the dog is sitting there like, what the hell, man? Like, you know, I need to get better. And so we've had some incidences this last year where there has been altercations with other dogs, and these altercations have come to, you know, we want 100% refund, this, that, and the other thing. And that's fine. I'm not here to say anything bad about any of my clients, because I love all of them and I appreciate them. However, I just find myself being completely astonished by people's lack of understanding of the dog. And it's ultimately causing dogs to get worse. It's ultimately causing dogs to die in some situations, which is hard for me to sleep at night. You know, meaning if some people break the contract and we say, hey, we love your dog. Your dog's awesome. There's no problems. We have no aggression issues. We have no reactivity issues. We spent the last 2 to 4 weeks with your dog. It's absolutely brilliant. You know, please follow up. In our contract, we have free follow-ups for all of our board and train clients. And, you know, sometimes we find 2 months down the road, the dog had bitten 2 people or whatever, and then the dog was euthanized without any reach out, without any, you know, regard to, hey, you know, maybe I should talk to the professionals I just paid a bunch of money for. And so for me, it's just becoming to a point, guys, where I want to express this. I want to talk about it. Because I know that it's hard for me, and I'm sure it's hard for other dog trainers out there. And then I'm sure it's even probably hard for dog owners listening that you need to just trust your instincts and know when to make a good decision, and know that if you hire a dog trainer and you trust them and you went for them for a reason because 17 people referred you to that person and you feel like everything's going great, and then one thing goes wrong, or one accident happens, which nobody can control, you need to do what's right for the dog. You need to do what's right for the dog. You can't base your decision-making moving forward based off of emotion. You can't. And I find that that's what's happening with the 3 out of, geez, I don't know, we sign like, I don't know, 20 dogs up a week maybe. So I don't know, sometimes less, sometimes more. But at the end of the day, you know, these are 3 out of, I don't know, thousands of people, because then we have our board and train program and all these things. And so anyway, the train's going by, so it might be loud, but you can probably tell, you know, within this episode that it's a little bit more real. And I'm always real with you guys, and I'm always real on the podcast and everything that I do. And I try to be genuine. But there's some times where situations that come, such as these, where, you know, an incident happens during training, or, you know, an incident happens after training and you don't reach out. You make decisions based off your emotion, not off what's right for the dog, which I have found dogs to, I mean, I can give you an example really quick. We took a dog in. This was a long time ago, but I don't want to talk about anything present because I'm not. But we took a dog in a while ago out of a shelter that did brilliant with us. Had a little history of aggression towards people he didn't know, but that's life. I mean, that's how sometimes dogs are. So they came to us for you know, advice, and we ended up taking the dog and doing all these brilliant things with the dog, and it was awesome. The dog did really great. We gave the dog structure. We gave the dog the tools and necessary structure and support that it needed to be successful, because he was a little off, which is fine. That's okay. We're not about us. We're about the dog. What do we need to do to make this dog happy and successful? And then moving forward, we ended up adopting the dog out. It was a happy, happy, happy moment for us. And like 6 months later, we get a call saying, like, you know, hey, I need the vaccinations for the dog. And I'm like, okay. And then they ended up saying that they put the dog down because it barked and lunged at somebody. And so, you know, again, I care about what I do so freaking much that I got into this industry to help dogs not have these things happen. And it seems to me that when I'm working with dogs, it means the world to me that I'm making a difference in these people's lives. But at the same time, it's involuntary for me, which means it's a big deal that I'm helping. But at the same time, it's something that I do on a regular basis that sometimes I don't take into consideration how much it means to people and how much good I do. But the bad stuff really upsets me a lot. And, you know, I lose sleep and I second guess everything, which is why this podcast is on, because I want to be real with you guys. That, you know, shit happens. And I think it's important to understand that the dog is at stake when we make decisions based off emotion. Ultimately, if you decide to make a decision to do something else, or to, I don't like this, or I don't like that, I don't like the way you said this, or whatever. But if you know that that person or that training camp, regardless of the circumstances, is there to help you and understanding that accidents happen and dogs are dogs, then ultimately making a decision based off your emotion to do something else is your opinion and your prerogative. But it just bugs me that people are not understanding dogs and are putting their selfish opinions in front of the benefit of the dog or the well-being of the dog. And so, you know, we've had situations, I'll give you, daycare situations where you got to think we have 30 dogs in daycare. And also like when we train privately, with the amount of dogs that we deal with on a daily basis. And here's the way I look at it. Every minute that there's more than 10 dogs together, there's a huge probability of something bad to happen. And so if we look at our spreadsheet of incidences and accidents, because that's what they are, because dogs are animals and shit happens and accidents happen and mistakes happen and that's okay. But the clients that we work with sometimes don't understand these things. And so if you're a dog owner out there, we've had clients that their dog would get, I'm probably going to publish this, but you know, I have some regards of not doing it. But in the back of my mind, I think that this is going to be beneficial for you guys. I think that this is going to, I want you guys to feel like you're not alone. And I want you to feel that I'm being an honest human being, because I don't want anything or anybody to ever think otherwise, you know, when I'm doing social media and things like that. So I think this would be a good one. But, you know, we've had certain dogs that will have a punctured ear and a cut leg because of a little squall, you know, because that's what happens. And here's my big point. This is the reason why I'm making this podcast 20 minutes in, is dogs are dogs. Mistakes happen. Accidents happen. There's nobody on this planet that can predict fully 100% what animals are going to do. I don't care who you are. And putting your emotions and your, again, ideology of how you feel things should have went, could have went, how they went, makes situations so much worse for the dog. And so we've had people in daycare get all these cuts and things like that. They're there the next day. We also have some people who have very small, tiny lacerations due to a little squall. And I try to explain to people that the dogs that we are around and living with, some of them have the power to grab your arm and snap it in half. They have the bite force to kill another dog and to break your arm in seconds. Although the little squall that you had and the laceration on the dog's body or the ear or the leg was a correction to tell the dog, hey, get the F away from me or leave me alone, is realistic. It's reality. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. Nobody in the room did it. The dogs did it to each other. And at that moment, I need to also be very clear and transparent that the compassion that we have for our animals is insane. And I share that with everybody. However, I also understand that when dogs interact with each other, sometimes they get into fights. Sometimes they get punched in the face, if you will. And nobody likes seeing their kid, if you will, get punched in the face. However, sometimes it helps them grow, and sometimes it teaches them lessons. And I'm just a person that believes in making sure that at the end of the day that the dog that I'm working with is okay. And so I've been just, again, really thinking about some of these things that I've been working with. And I want you dog trainers, facility owners, even dog owners to know that there's a big difference between people being fraudulent and lying and trying to cover things up and to try to be sneaky. That's different. That's not acceptable. However, when we're talking about dogs who get into a minor squall or a very small little fight or, you know, the tiniest little cut, and we make big ordeals about it, I want to just have people understand that those things ultimately could make that situation a lot worse for the dog. And so when we get little fights, and I think that that's important to understand that when we see dogs be dogs naturally, we become afraid of it. when I see dogs fight, like, and that's the thing is, it's very, I'm to a point in my career where I just don't really want to move forward working with people because they don't understand what they have. And I'm just to a point of exhaustion where I'm just almost like depressed over it, where I'm like, look, you have a dog. Your dog will roll in poop. Your dog will kill a cat. Your dog will bite a child in the face. Your dog is capable of all of these things. And I see it, and I've seen it, and I've seen some nasty stuff with dogs because being in the law enforcement part of it a while back in my career, you know, I've seen nasty people do nasty things to dog, which creates nasty dogs, nasty environments. And so I know that I've seen the beast in a dog. I've seen what they're capable of. I've seen what they do. And when I see a dog correct another dog and then have a potential client or I have somebody make a big deal about it and be as dramatic to say that the dog is traumatized for life, take that with a grain of salt because that certainly can happen to certain dogs. But we need to be a little bit more aware and more mindful of dogs are dogs and things happen. It's not anybody's fault. We can dance around and point fingers about we should have and couldn't have and wouldn't have and all these things. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what I'm finding, guys, is people want a dog until a dog becomes a dog. People want to help a dog and work on their fear-based reactivity or their aggression until they actually see it play out, until they actually see the situation play out in reality, in a natural environment, right? And what that means is every fear-based dog that comes into my facility, if I let another passive dog out, correct them once, and give them a little nick on the back or behind the ear, and they shut down their aggressive behavior for life, some people would argue that, well, that's inhumane, and maybe you shouldn't have done that. Maybe, because it could have conflicts in the future. And if I can control every environment, I certainly would. But when these types of things happen, there's a certain person that makes an emotional decision on, I don't like that. I think that this is bad. I'm traumatized, which then pitfalls to the dog. When the dog's like, well, that sucked, moving forward, why is everybody so upset? Why is everybody holding me? Why is everybody coddling me when I have a laceration or something? And so it makes things worse. And so I'm seeing more and more of this. I'm not talking about my facility at all. I'm talking about in public. I've seen, you know, dog squalls in public. And some people are like, oh, it's fine. I'm moving forward. And they're bleeding. And the dog's like, you know, just jumping around but bleeding and okay. And some people are like, yeah, it's fine. And then I've also seen, you know, these little dog fights happen. And, you know, some can say, well, it's not appropriate or acceptable for any dog to be put into danger. And I agree. But when shit hits the fan and dogs are dogs and another dog corrects another dog, we need to take that and say, I wonder what we could have done, you know, to stop that, or I wonder what we could have done to help or whatever. And so anyway, my point is I just want to express my frustration of the career path that I have chosen. And for any of you out there that are going down this path or about to, my second podcast I put out, answering the number one question I get. And so this is for those people who want to get into the dog training world, and you put your blood, sweat, tears, equity, and you create a reputation, and it doesn't matter if it's local, international, statewide, nationwide, it doesn't matter how good you are at what you do and how many lives you change, there's always going to be an opportunity for a person to put their emotions and their questioning of your integrity and strength and ability to help dogs and even downright personality, they're there. They exist. And again, to me, I put so much into what I do, into my craft, that I take it personal most times when people don't like what we're doing, or they don't like the outcome, or they don't like what had happened. And that's one out of 2,000, maybe two out of 2,000 that this happens to. But I want to be real with the dog trainers. I want to be real with the people who are wanting to become dog trainers, that there's going to be people out there that are going to try to ruin you. They're going to try to make you second guess everything that you've ever done. They're going to try to eliminate the idea of you being good at what you do, regardless of what the public says, regardless of what the national government says, regardless of what your international clients say, regardless of how many clients you have. There's going to be people who will second guess your entire profession for an accident. There's going to be people that are going to put you down for loving and doing what you do too much, right? Like if I let an older dog out and they correct a smaller dog and then they run away and try to sue me for damage of the dog internally because they overreacted and made things worse, it's going to happen. It's your fault. It's your business. So I urge you people to create tough skin. I've created pretty tough skin over the years, and sometimes it just breaks and you have to rebuild. But I want to let you know that it's real and it happens, and you have to do everything you need to do to collect the thousands of good emails and the thousands of good notifications that you get from your clients and your friends and your family and your colleagues and your community that say, hey, man, you're changing people's lives, or hey, girl, you're changing people's lives. Keep doing it. And remember that at the end of the day, it's about the dogs. But I can honestly say that I'm to a point where I'm so about the dogs and I'm so involved with how dogs communicate and realizing that squalls and bumps and bruises and fights and things happen on a daily basis. And if you're not exposed and or you're not accepting of these things, you're going to run into some serious issues working with those people. And I think that it's so important to understand that they're out there and they will try to do damage to you and your business and potentially threat you and to do all these things to make you feel like you're a bad guy or a bad girl. But just wanted to let you guys know that that's out there and you need to start building your tough skin now, because if you're working in a small group of people who have found out about you through references, chances are you couldn't do any wrong because they trust you. But if you start growing and you start expanding and you start just working with the general population because you're the go-to person or you're the go-to facility, just know there's going to be people that are going to try to ruin you, and you need to know why you got into this, and you need to know what you're doing in the plus side and not worry about the negative side. But again, I just got off the phone with a client talking about all these things, and you know, we've had some recent activity where accidents has happened in the facility, and it becomes daunting to me because I care so much about what I do and my reputation and how I present myself and how mindful I am about the overall well-being of the dog. And sometimes I think that I forget the word, but there is a word for when you're almost just you're in autopilot, and sometimes you just forget. Holy shit, these humans have never seen a dog bite another dog. These people have never seen their dog squeal, or these people have never seen their dog pee because they're scared. They've never exposed to it, ever. It's the difference between somebody walking around in a uniform saying that they love the army and they want to join, and they get to Afghanistan and they're shitting their pants. It's real. It happens. And unfortunately, in the dog world, when you're a professional dog person, handler, trainer, owner, you know dogs better than you know that person's dog better than they know their dog. And that's the truth. And when something happens and you're like, oh, that was a simple dog correction, or oh, you know, whatever. I mean, these things happen where you're just like, okay, moving on. And then that person has never seen any of these things, has never been exposed to a real, you know, dog aggression. Even if you have a dog that's reactive and asking, you know, and if you let go of the leash, another dog is going to correct it, put it in its place, and then walk away, and it's the best thing that ever happened for the dog. Some people's personal beliefs and what they feel is so bad and is so negative that it's almost laugh-worthy, and that's where I'm at. I'm like, wait, do I not care anymore? Or am I just so ingrained with dogs that I forget how people look at dogs? And that's where I'm at. And so I'm having a hard time trying to balance these things, because I've been trusted so much with stuff. I don't even think about the owners. I'm like, yeah, that happened. This happens all the time. Like, this is not a big deal. And then I'm like, wait, holy crap. They've never even seen, their dog bark. They've never even seen, whatever. And sometimes I have to ask myself, like, wait a minute. How should I be approaching this? So anyway, guys, welcome to the real life world of the dog training world and the dog world in general. God is great. Beer is good. People are effing crazy. And if you're doing good and you believe it in your heart and in your soul that this is what you need to be doing in life, then do it. Create tough skin. Know that there's going to be somebody out there that is going to go completely against what you believe in and what you are as a person, regardless of the circumstances. And you just need to know deep down inside who you are, what you do, what you stand for, the benefits of what you're doing compared to the people that you have to work with once a year or twice a year or whatever it is. But just know that you should probably stick to it. Don't let crazy people ruin your day, and always be in the benefit of the dog. Even if it means swallowing a bunch of information that you normally would spit back out somebody and go on a fury rage of, well, wait a minute, who's the dog professional here and who actually knows what the dog is feeling and how the dog feels and what you should be doing? You got to sometimes just swallow it. And that's hard, and it's especially hard for me because of what I do as a profession and the amount of people that I work with and how many people trust me to give them valuable information to help them and their dog. And sometimes when that's thrown aside because of personal beliefs and how they feel as humans, it becomes really hard for me to accept, because I know ultimately, guess what? The dog's going to suffer. And so anyway, guys, that's it. That's all I want to rant about today. I guess I got it off my chest and talked about it. It feels good. And I hope nobody takes any of this information the wrong way. I just wanted to be real. I wanted to be real about the dog training world as a person who's progressed in it from nothing to, I'm not the biggest company. I'm not the biggest name in dog training. People are way bigger than me and have a lot more success than I do, but I really don't see a lot of people on podcasts talking about the pitfalls of dog training. And I wanted to just put this out there for people if they, are having issues or struggles, that it's real. Everyone deals with it. It's true. Of course, we're never going to post it on social media except for me, because I'm like, I should just get these demons out of the closet and just tell people that these things exist and know that it's completely normal. And the bigger you get, the harder it gets. And here's how I look at it is the more good work that you do, and the more lives you change, and the more success stories that you have, the more open you are for people raining on your parade and telling you that you're not good at what you do, and or you're this, that, and the other thing, because you're opened up to a new level. It's not just you're the the trainer of Oklahoma City or Detroit. Like, if you work with a lot of people. So just be aware of what you ask for, I guess. You want to be big and well-known and travel and do these things in the dog training world. Just be careful that you have tough enough skin to get through some of the crazies, because they're there. And they will try to do everything they can to make you feel like what you're doing isn't worth it. But at the end of the day, no bad dogs, right? So thank you guys for listening to my rant. If this strikes chords, if you feel that this is important to you and you feel like you benefited from my vulnerability of talking about this stuff, let me know. Send me a message, because it means a lot to me that you guys are taking my pitfalls and some of my mistakes as a professional into consideration, to hope that you guys never deal with them or it makes it easier for you guys to deal with. Let me know. Send me a message on Instagram at Tom Davis, or share it with your friends in your story on Instagram, or rate it in my podcast. Let me know, because I'm doing this for you guys. This isn't for me, although it does seem pretty confessional and it makes me feel good, but this is for you. I want you guys to be protected mentally for the things that you're asking for you might not actually want. So it's not all rainbows and butterflies. Just remember that. One last thing I wanted to throw in here, guys, on this vulnerable podcast is, Everybody makes mistakes. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're LeBron James or you are whoever, people make mistakes no matter what profession you're in. And ultimately, you know that you need to own up to the mistakes that you've made and just know that ultimately it's going to be the best thing to swallow all the things that you want to say, regardless of what's right or wrong for the dog. Because again, people come into your profession to hire you for what you think is going to be right and wrong. And then ultimately, their emotions could take over on what they feel is right or wrong, and they become the person of profession. And sometimes it's hard to swallow that pill and just turn the other cheek and say, you're right, this is what we need to do. But ultimately, owning your mistakes and doing what's right for your business in the future so you can continue to help the amount of people that you do in the future. So swallow that tough pill and move on. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next time. Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.